Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
I am joined in the studio this morning by Hester McDonald. It is time for Dig It. We are talking today about the basics. This is the time where if you've ever been confused about anything that we've mentioned in the show, then you can ask those questions. You can really get back to basics with us. Hester, how are you going to help us, ease us in, make us feel like we're not just silly, asking what actually a perennial is?
All of those questions. All those questions you've always wanted to ask, but you've been too embarrassed to ask them. Today is the day.
What is a perennial?
It's a plant that comes back every year, and most of them are quite small. Does that help? It's not a tree.
That's great. Love it. Right. We're really setting the bar. So for any really keen gardeners this morning, well, you might just be smug that you know the answers to all of the questions. But stay tuned, because there might just be something that you don't know.
Absolutely.
Guess, like anything, this might be something that we learn wrong from time to time.
Pick up
bad habits. So today we're talking about how to start from the beginning. So we're talking new gardens, new veggie plots, new hedges. Who is this show for today, Hester?
This is for anybody who's either new to gardening, has a new space that's new to them, or something has changed in their garden, for example. So perhaps you've had a garden for a long time and a tree's died and had to be taken down, or as often happens, someone has built something in the garden next door to you and now you need to change something.
Okay, so not just for the very, very new beginners to gardening. This could just still be a nice reminder of what to do if you are cutting back to the basics or going back to the beginning a little bit. So let's start off by mentioning that we've got a prize from our lovely sponsors at Shilliger Garden Centre. They have given us a nice set of goodies to give away, a whole set. So can you talk us through what we've actually got in this?
So this is a set of gardening tools by the company called Wolf Garten. They are red and yellow, and I bet you recognise them. So there's a little hand fork, there's a hori-hori knife, which is for poking out weeds, there's a pair of secateurs, and there's a trowel. And I really like Wolf tools. They're extremely robust. They're also very brightly coloured, so you're very, very unlikely to lose them in the garden. And it doesn't matter if you do, because the handles are plastic.
Excellent. And I guess this will be a set of tools that's good quality. It'll start you off.
Yeah. But and also, you know, it's Mother's Day this weekend in Switzerland.
It is Mother's Day this
weekend.
And if
you actually have, and it's, you know, you have a mother who is close by and you have forgotten to get it, this actually would be a lovely gift.
Perfect.
Yes.
Let's dive in. Let's talk about starting with a veggie plot. What best tips have you got for starting veggie plots?
So I would say ask yourself some questions to start off with. How much space have you got? How much time do you have to devote to this? And I would say go easy. I mean, that's pretty much the watchword for everything. Just take your time and have a think about it. Don't go and build yourself a load of raised beds if you've never done it before, because you might discover, actually, you don't have time for this, or you're going to be away for 4 weeks when the whole lot's going to be cropping.
Good tip.
So have a think about how much time you've got. If you are going to be away, who's going to do the watering and who's going to pick them? Because it's too depressing to come back and find the whole lot have gone to mush and it is a complete waste, and they could have fed somebody, and that's really disappointing. I would also say, think about why you're growing it. Are you growing it because it's fun? Are you growing it because everybody else is doing it? Are you growing it actually to fill a gap because the one thing that you really want to eat, you can't get in the shops here? And so I would adapt your approach to that. And also, so when you're thinking about where to put it, think about the orientation. How much sun does that spot get? How close is it to a water source? Because if it's miles from the tap, you're not going to water it. I guarantee it.
True.
Yeah. And ideally, is it near the compost bin? So if you're going to be chucking bits out, where are you going to put them? Because you don't want to have to then put them in a bucket and trundle them miles away to your compost bin. And I would say, choose something that's really easy if you've never done it before, really easy. So things like lettuces are super easy. Radishes, beetroot and courgettes are probably the super, super easy, and they're quick as well.
I love that. Yeah, it's really important, I think, especially when you're starting off, that you can see the results pretty quickly.
Absolutely. And they're also ideal for container gardening as well as in the ground. So it doesn't really matter if you decided to start in containers or you're going straight into the ground. I would also just choose something that makes you laugh, something completely crazy. Cucumelons, for example.
Yeah.
They're really fun. Anything like that that makes you chuckle, get it. Treat yourself.
Go wild. Yeah. That's with your veggie patch. Stay tuned. We'll be talking in a minute about starting other projects in the garden with Hester. We're really going back to basics. And if you've got any questions, send them in studio@worldradio.ch. We'll tell you how you can get into the draw for that Wolf Prize, the set of gardening tools, in just a moment.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
We're just going to talk about what we need to consider if we're building a new hedge. Hester, you've got some top tips.
So I would say, first of all, if you are putting it in for a particular reason, decide what percentage evergreens to non-evergreens to deciduous you want. The general guide is about a third. Are you going to put in just indigenous plants? How often do you want to cut it? How big are they going to get? So all of those questions are worth considering, and all good garden centres will be able to give you some good advice. Mm. Be careful about buying plants on the internet, because they look really, really, really cheap. It's because often they are teeny, teeny, tiny. And that's why there's a difference in the price.
Not quite so well established.
No. So that once you've decided what you're going to put it and they've gone in, the next big thing is water. Water, 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 water. So I would suggest laying a seep hose. We've talked about these before. I think they're absolutely brilliant. It's a flat hose that has holes pricked in it, or points put into it all the way along. And then the water drips out really slowly at the root level of your plant. So it doesn't spray the foliage, so you don't get risk of fungal issues. It just comes out by the roots.
But then presumably you need to attach that to a water source permanently.
You do. Well, no, not necessarily. So the way I did it when we put our new hedge in is I just ran it across from the tap, from my hose across to the seep hose, connected it, ran it for half an hour, a couple of times a week, and then wound it back in again.
Oh, so you're not talking about, it doesn't need to be every day, a couple of times a week.
A couple of times a week is enough. But I mean, if it's absolutely chucking it down, you probably don't need to do it. But I would say go and stick your finger in right by the root ball into the soil. And if it's dry, you need to water. Because quite often, if it's a very heavy foliaged plant, the water's actually not getting into the roots at all. It's just missing it.
Okay. Before we get into the BBC World News, which is coming up any minute, I would like to start our competition for these Wolf tools that we have to give away. This is a set of four very basic tools that you need. They're great quality, and it's offered as a lovely prize by Shilliger Garden Centre from the centre in Glan. Here's my question, or rather, here is my request of you to get into this competition. I would like for our listeners, if they want to get into this competition, to just simply tell us a very basic piece of information about gardening, a super basic fact. I want to be sharing those all morning. I want to be sharing the real simple tricks and tips. So if you literally have a pot plant and you think, you know what, the only thing that I know about that is to water it, or don't water it too much, send that in. You will go into the draw, making Hester chuckle. You will go into the draw for these tools. Just send in your top tips to share with any other gardener about gardening, indoor or outdoor. Hester, you got a top tip? Very simple. Like, what was the first thing that you learnt about gardening? The very first thing.
Roses are prickly.
That's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. Roses are prickly. Yeah, I like that. We're really going back to basics. No holes barred, and you know what? No shame in it today. If you've got any questions, you can also send them in studio@worldradio.ch. You can text 939. Start that text off with WRS. If you find us on the app, of course, you can just click on the little speech bubble and you will be able to find all of the different ways to contact us. But that's all you need to do today. Your super basic tips and tricks, those things that you've picked up to get into the draw.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
We are looking at starting from scratch today on the show. No question is too silly. So I've got a question for you, Hester. Get ready.
Okay.
This question, we've been talking about how to tackle some basic things in the garden. Where might we get some inspiration? So we're not even at the doing stage.
This is the idea stage. Well, I have to say, I think garden events are a great place to find inspiration. And also, you can ask the experts right then to say, I'm not really sure what I should be doing. And they will help you choose your own plan. plants. And I have to say, May is packed. Packed.
Springtime, I guess.
So let's start with the return of an absolute favourite of mine, which is the Coppé Flower Show, now called the Garden Festival. It's going to take place on the 12th, 13th and 14th of May in the grounds of the Château de Coppé, which is an easy walk from the train station or from the boat. If you want to arrive in real style, get the boat. And it's only 10 francs to get in, and the ticket is good for the whole weekend, which is pretty nice.
We have been giving away some tickets for that this morning on the breakfast show. Thank you very much for organising that for us, Hester. Also, this afternoon, if you weren't lucky enough to get into the draw for that this morning, you'll be able to have another chance to get into the draw for the Coppé Flower Show, now named the Garden Festival, with Steve this afternoon for the home run.
Get another go at it. So among the plant specialists at Coppé, you're going to find the wonderful Pontus Wollstone. Pontus is probably my favourite supplier of rare and unusual bulbs. And despite only being in his 30s, he's actually been collecting and propagating bulbs for 2 decades.
King bean.
Yeah, precisely. He's got a stunning show garden in Perroir in the Canton of Vaud, which you can visit by appointment. He also runs a bulb finding service, which he's found several for me, as well as growing and propagating loads of bulbs to sell, either via his website, which is pontuswollstoneplants.com, or at various garden events in Switzerland, or at his own garden. He even has a couple of books to his name as well. I met up with Pontus in his beautiful show garden earlier this week and asked him if bulbs are suitable for beginners starting from scratch.
Well, the good thing about bulbs, of course, is that you can have them in bloom for almost 10 months of the year in your garden, and above all, with minimal care. If you compare it to a window box of annuals, for instance, that you have to keep watering and tending and giving feeding, bulbs, once they're in the correct spot with the correct mix, they can stay there for decades and thrive. And in fact, quite a few bulbs thrive on minimal care. In fact, they thrive on neglect. So the least care you give them, the better they do. And talking about mixes, often people may plant tulips, for instance, in a pot, and they go to the garden center, buy a bag of compost, plant the bulbs in the pot or in their garden, and then wonder why the tulips didn't come up the next year or not doing so well. And the reason is that most likely they will have rotted in that very soggy compost. So what I often recommend, for instance, for any bulb is that you need to start with the drainage material. That has to be the base of your mix. So for the rockery bulbs, for instance, it's about 50% granitic grit, 3 to 5 millimeters, and then 20% perlite or ceramus, which is a volcanic material. And then the rest is simply normal garden soil, about 15% only. And you can also add, of course, pumice, but pumice is often not available here in Switzerland. So I replace it with ceramus. And for woodland bulbs, it's roughly the same system. So first of all, you make a mix of 50-50 ceramus and perlite, to which you add 30% granitic grit, and then the rest is ericaceous soil and well-composted bark to equal parts.
Pontus promises me that he'll be there at Coppé with a stand full of lovely things. In fact, actually, he's going to arrange his bulbs in month order from January right through into well into the autumn, November and December time. He'll be bringing my favourite light bulb aracemas, as well as some potted alliums, lilies, of course, which are his first love, including some exclusive American hybrids, hardy orchids, suitable for most gardens and needing very little care. And as he mentioned in that little section there, he's going to bring some of his famous potting mix, so you don't need to do your own. We'll be back visiting Pontus, in fact, for our September show for his tips on successfully growing bulbs in pots and in the garden. And for more information about the Garden Festival, go to www.garden-festival.ch, and you're going to find 75 exhibitors there, plant specialists, accessories and lots to eat and drink.
Excellent. So what else is going on that weekend?
So on Saturday, the Botanical Garden in Geneva will be having a petit marché aux plantes with some of the best specialist producers in the region. Niels Rodin, who grows a huge collection of citrus and aubon, Rémi Yagi and Roussillon Fleurs, two of my favourite perennial specialists, as well as the Société Romande des Amis de la Rose d'Horticulture, who will be selling a brand new rose called Maiselina, which will raise funds for the ICRC. And in fact, I'll be there helping them out between 10 and 12 that day too. If you're going to go to that one, parking's always limited. It's way easier to get public transport. If you need more information, just go to the Jardin Botanique, which is the cjbg.ch site, and look for their petit marché aux plantes.
What about landscaping?
Well, it depends what you're after. But if you're after something big, like a tree, Jacquet, a 5th century generation landscape with a superb tree and shrub nursery. In fact, very close to us here at WS in Satigny. And they've got two open days, one this Friday and this Saturday. The activities, kids, food trucks, and of course, loads of advice by experts. So if you're thinking about investing in something big, go and have a chat to them there. If you want to have a look, www.jacquet.ch.
I can't believe how much is going on this weekend, honestly. If you could just clone yourself and be in six different places.
I think I'm going
places.
To.
Because there's another event as well. Perhaps this one's closer to you.
Yeah, so there's the Marché de la Galif, which is an aid of the Centre Social Protestant. They have loads of associations selling plants and pots and all sorts of things. That's on Saturday the 13th of May in the park on the Chemin Anne-Magny. Go to www.csp.ch for more details.
Excellent. If you're a little further away,
how about going to the Fête de la Rose in Romanée? Probably, I'd say, one of the most romantic rose events in Switzerland. It's gorgeous. It's about 90 minutes away by car or by train. And the festival's held in the grounds of the Abbey. It's very pretty. You'll see loads of specialists, including Pontus, in fact. Pontus Wolstenar, bulb specialists, will be back there again. For more information, go to sdr-romamottier.ch, Fête de la Rose.
It would be very remiss of me not to say just have a wander around Schilliger if you're looking for something to plant. If you're looking for inspo, start there, why not? But lots of different events happening this month. It is spring, and coming up we will be talking about your questions. We'll try and get through as many of them, but if you would like to win those tools from Wolf, just simply tell us a gardening fact, something that you know, just impart some wisdom. And you know what, if your wisdom is just that you need to water a plant or not water it too much, we'll take it. You can send that in 939 on the text, start your message off with WRS, or email studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
We've got some of your questions coming in about simple things, starting from basics. Hester, are you ready to answer some questions?
I am.
We've got a question that came in from Erica, who sent us a lovely video of her plants. She's growing them from seed.
Wow.
Particularly impressed with the little lemon tree, including mango, kumquats, a ginkgo, and
sweet,
a lemon tree. She needs to know what to do with them next. They've sprouted, they've done okay. What is the next step?
So I would say treat them gently. Try not to handle them too much, or as little as possible. And they don't need potting up yet until they really start to outgrow their pots. So don't worry about, I need to move them on or prune them or anything. Just leave them be. Water them. Keep them growing happily, because you've obviously got great green thumbs. I'm very impressed, because they're quite hard to grow from seeds. I would say let them be happy outside all summer, and then in the autumn, I'd say the ginkgo can stay outside. They're fully hardy. It's really not a problem. The ones that are going to be a bit more challenging are the mango, the kumquat and the lemon, because they won't love being indoors and hot if your apartment is very warm. They need to be about 5 to 10 degrees C, which is considerably cooler than anybody likes to have a room.
I thought that they would want to be really warm.
No, they actually need a cooler dormant period. You need to sort of mimic the conditions that they would have where they came from. They need to be cooler. And they, because otherwise they just keep growing and it overstresses the plant and you start getting pest problems and all the rest of it. So let's not do that. Let them behave as if it's winter, but not so much that they freeze and die.
Do you think that ultimately fuss less is a good tip for gardeners?
Yeah, it really is. Neglect's good, generally.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think overwatering could be more damaging for the plant than actually.
I think that more plants die from overwatering than under.
Mm. We've got a question that's coming from Tim, who says, we have just moved into a new house with a garden. It's the first time we have ever had a garden. We're a bit overwhelmed and we don't have a big budget for it. We do need to fix the lawn. It is absolutely full of weeds. We need to change the terraces. We need to cut hedges. Where do we even start?
See, I'd say with a new garden, just don't rush into doing anything. If the lawn is really terrible, then just concentrate on the weeds that are really bothering you. So dandelions, for example. If that's what's really bothering you, pull them up with a Fiskars weed puller. They're really brilliant. And drop some fresh bag compost down to fill the hole and then put some grass seed down and water it well. For the hedges, it's not hedge cutting season at the moment, so don't worry. You don't have to do them now. And in fact, actually, in many communes and cantons and in France, legally you can't cut hedges until July because birds are nesting in them. So
that's
let
a really good reminder, yeah.
Finish doing those things. If they're overhanging the pavement or they're blocking the roof of the view to a road or it's making a corner dangerous, say, your commune may say to you, can you please do this sooner rather than later? In which case, you can probably hand cut just that little section. Mm. I would say leave it until the autumn. Leave the hedges until the autumn. You don't need to cut them twice that, which is much better. For the terraces, I'd say it depends what's wrong with them. If they're just old, then I'd say just clean them. Just clean them.
Do a make-do job.
Do a make-do job and maybe add some nice new furniture of your own or some accessories to kind of brighten them up. And if you feel that they're in the wrong place or they're wrongly oriented, which is possible, wait. You may find that the previous owners made the choice as to where they are for a good reason. For example, maybe it's very windy on that side of the house. Maybe it's very hot on that side of the house. And that's why they are where they are. Don't do anything until you've been in the house, I'd say at least 6 months, possibly a year. Just hang on in there. It's going to be fine. And I'm sure that your budget can be spent on something else. And if it's really driving you crackers, treat yourself some nice pots and go to the garden centre and buy some really pretty things, put them in it and look after those and just look at them and just ignore the rest.
That's the thing as well. If you put something in a pot, you can always move it to the new part of your terrace later.
Exactly.
Alison asks, I've been picking elderflowers. I think I've accidentally also picked some wayfarer's tree. I wouldn't know what those two look like. Do they look very similar?
Similar-ish. Elderflowers are flattish. The flowers are flattish and white and smell really, really nice. And Wayfarer's tree, which is a sort of viburnum, has slightly domed flowers and they smell actually pretty disgusting.
Well, then Alison's next question is, can I go ahead and put them in my cordial anyway? I'm going to make
I think the answer
cordial.
Is no! Don't do that! So if
no.
you're, I would always say, if you're not sure what you've foraged, don't risk it. It's the same for mushrooms. It's the same for anything. Don't put it in your mouth unless you know what it is. In fact, viburnum, the tree in question, at the very least will make your cordial taste really disgusting, I think.
Yeah.
And the fruit are mildly toxic, so I wouldn't mess around with it. Yeah, I would leave it. And if you can't figure out which one's which, ditch the lot, put them all in the compost and start again. There's loads of elderflowers around at the moment.
I'm just going to run through some of the comments that have come in because I'm asking listeners now to send in their top tips, anything that they've picked up from gardening. And you can be so basic, honestly. So we're really going back to basics. Today, Isabel says, I want your comments on these, Hester. Isabel says, hi, Kat and Hester, a super basic tip. Plants need food just like us, so fertilizer is a must.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
When, though? I'm going to just follow that up.
I usually say Easter. I feed everything in my garden. I would also say feed the soil if you can, rather than just the plant. The soil will thank you, and all the little invertebrates and things in the soil will do a grand job of then helping to break down anything in the soil, and that will then feed your plant.
Erica has also said, I use rice water to water plants because it provides a sufficient amount of NPK fertiliser and minerals.
Does it?
There you go.
Wow.
Thanks, Erica. We've also got Carol, who said, if you've got a large garden, rewild some of it and focus on new patches to grow your favourite flowers.
Yeah, that's a great idea, and because it will reduce your ecological impact as well, so because you're not cutting and you're not doing anything to it, and you're adding enormous spaces for biodiversity. Great idea. Love that.
Excellent. Caitlin coming in, your super simple gardening tips, things that you have learnt along the way, maybe through trial and error, maybe through some mistakes that you have made. Like mine would be not to overwater. And you're going to the draw for a set of four Wolf tools, courtesy of Schillinger Garden Centre. We've got the Swiss news coming up for you next. Stay tuned.
Dig It, sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schillinger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, I do know that you love a book. When it comes to getting inspiration for your garden and starting from scratch, I can picture you with a cup of tea in hand, looking out over the garden that you're working with and grabbing a book.
You're pretty much spot on.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm quite old school. That's the thing. Luckily, the Royal Horticultural Society have quite a few books that might fit the bill.
Go on.
And I would go for one of their new ones. It's called How to Garden. It's published by Dorling Kindersley. Loads of great photos, really good illustrations. It's very, very straightforward. And it's recent. It was only published in 2021. I would also keep an eye out for older copies of things like the Encyclopedia of Gardening, because they're still very useful and they're very cheap.
Are they?
Yeah. You can get them for about a tenner second hand.
But why are they better than the internet?
The internet's great. You have to be really careful about the source.
Okay.
So I'd say an RHS book or the RHS website or the Gardeners World website. Yeah, fantastic. Some blog by some person who doesn't necessarily know what they're doing, just be a little bit careful. And also be careful about the region that it comes from, because it may not be applicable to you.
Right, I see. Also, we did mention earlier that there are just tons of events going on. And I know that you've got some more that you wanted to mention.
I did. So there's one in Vaumarcu, and I'm delighted to see this is back on again. Vaumarcu's on the lake of Neuchâtel, and the site is lovely because it runs right down to the lake. It's gorgeous. And it's another Journée des Plantes, another plant event. Yay! And it's on the 19th, 20th and 21st of May, which is another bank holiday weekend.
Indoor, outdoor?
Outdoor.
Okay.
All outdoor and lovely. It's in a massive field, and it's absolutely beautiful. Parking is a little bit challenging, so go early if you can. And you can find the details for that on jardifanclub.ch. And you can even see a list of the people who will be showing, including the wonderful Alan Chance, who's a rose breeder, who has some beautiful roses. And our Eisenhut, Rina Eisenhut, who is a specialist from Ticino, who's a specialist in magnolias and citrus, will be there too. And Felco, the wonderful Swiss secateur people. If you need to have your secateurs sharp and take them with you.
Oh, bring them along.
Bring them along. They'll do them for you.
Is it weird walking into a garden centre with a set of secateurs? Don't people look at you funny like you're going to chop things down and run off with them?
I think that people know that you're probably heading straight to the Felco stand. You're going to hand them over safely. They'll be safely handed over for the duration.
What else have we got event-wise?
So there's a really fabulous open gardens event. Now, in the UK, there's the Yellow Book, where people open, through the National Garden Scheme, open their gardens for charity. Here, they're organised a little bit more locally. And there's a group called Florence, Florence.ch. They used to publish a magazine and now it's all online. And they've put together the most beautiful collection of gardens in Suisse Romande. Small, big, huge potagers, completely insane things, including, that's not one of the insane ones, a garden that I helped to design called Beauregard, which is beautiful.
Congrats.
And I'm very proud of it. And it's looking wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I would go and have a look at florence.ch. And they go from about May the 13th to mid-June. So have a look online, see what's close to you, and get in touch with the garden owner and say, I'd like to come on that day, please.
If all this is too soon for you, June and July also have a fair number of events.
There are loads of events going on, and the wonderful Botanica event, which is all of the botanical gardens in Switzerland. There are loads. There's 25 of them. Goes from the 10th of June to the 9th of July. This year's theme is Plants for the Future, which is a nice idea. If you want to find out more, go to botanica-suisse.org and you'll have a look. And if you need any advice or inspiration about roses, I'm going to be running the first of the guided tours to the Competition Rose Garden in Nyon. There's an international rose competition which is held in Nyon. And the first event is on the 26th of May and every last Friday of the month at 1:30. And if there's too many people, have another one at 3:30 as well, if you really want to. And it's at the Service de l'Environnement, right next to the tennis club in Nyon. Come along and say hello.
Hester, thanks so much for taking us back to basics in terms of giving us a lot of inspiration for where we can really start our garden. We've also been running a competition about asking listeners to send in things that you know about gardening, just any really good tips. Hester's was that roses can be a little bit spiky. Watch out for that. Mine is don't overwater things, but still water them. And then we've got Susie, who says, a tip for roses. Roses love coffee grinds.
Oh, there you go.
Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been Dig It. You'll be able to find a podcast of this on our website, worldradio.ch/digit. Thanks, Hester.
Thank you.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.